In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. God is good, and all the time. Good evening, everyone. Let me welcome those of you online. Thank you for joining us faithfully. YouTube or Facebook, I'm not sure what the avenues are, but as long as you have contact, we're delighted for your love of simple truth. When Jesus prayed to his Father, he said, Sanctify them through thy truth. Let me tell you, in the building online, with all possible respect, tradition does not sanctify. Opinions do not sanctify. Tribal customs do not sanctify. The only thing that sanctifies is truth. And that is what is written between the covers of this book. Let me get right to a picture. Can someone project that behind me? A delightful thing happened to me today when I was low. You know, preachers get low when they think the Lord is not with them. And I was wrestling today, what should I say, what should I say? Lord, be with me. And you feel this emptiness. Then I was checking my messages, and I saw a message from a family in South Africa. And they sent me that picture. And the mother said, Our son prays for you. And he has your picture in a prayer basket. And when I saw that, my heart turned just to liquid. And I said, Lord, thanks for this encouragement. I just know what to do. And I wrote back immediately and told him, he is my little brother as long as I have life and breath. And so I wanted you to see this little preacher who is praying for me. And I wrote in my message, may it be said of him as it was said of John the Baptist and of Jesus. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. All right, you can take that off now. I just wanted you to see God finds all kinds of ways to encourage struggling preachers. Love you, handsome little boy. Anyone with us tonight, you're not the Seventh-day Adventist, raise your hand. First time. Okay, God bless you. First time, all right. For those of you who've come, thank you very much. For those of you online, thanks again. If you're not a Seventh-day Adventist, God loves you. Thank you for joining night after night, and may the Lord bless you. I feel convicted to answer a question that was sent online. Now, I got some other questions, but they have no connection with what I've been saying. So I'll try to deal with them another time. But this one had to do with exactly what I talked about last night, the law. And the person said, the person was complaining about those who said the New Testament does not require obedience to God's law. It is an Old Testament thing. And this is very common, very popular in the Christian world. The reason for that is, and I hope people online are listening. Let me pray. Father, as I talk to your people, give me simple wisdom, dear God, because the gospel is simple, but the carnal nature tries to make it complex. Speak through me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen to what the Bible says about the unconverted mind. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, do we have the carnal mind today? Well, what does the Bible say about the carnal mind? It is not, subject to what? Now, if there's no law, that verse makes no sense.
Am I talking to myself?
Are you with me? Come on now, we're friends now. Come, somebody say amen. If there is no law, that verse is useless. Because the verse says the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. If the law of God ended with Malachi, that verse no longer makes sense. But the law of God still applies because the carnal nature still objects to the law of God. I'm saying that to say this. People find all kinds of reasons to get around the law of God. Because, you see, as carnal people, or carnal people, do not like to be told what to do. And we all have a remnant of that. Someone talks to you in a kind of a harsh voice, don't tell me what to do. That's the carnal nature. Don't tell me what to do. But salvation requires that God tell us what to do. Are you with me? And so when Paul was touched, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The rich young ruler, what must I do? The Philippi jailer, what must I do? There is a doing, and that doing is expressing faith in God. Now, I also want to say to those who think the law ended with Malachi in the Old Testament, how do you explain Revelation 22:14? Blessed are they that what? Do his commandments. Now, that was written about 60 years after Jesus went back to heaven. Are you with me? Now, it's in Revelation. Listen to Revelation. Go with me to Revelation quickly, because I need to get to my sermon at 7:15. But sometimes the Lord takes these remarks and makes them the entire sermon. Say that again. All right. But let's go to Revelation 1. Let's read from verse 1. Thank you, my good sister. Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John. Let's dissect that verse. Let's look at it microscopically. The revelation of Jesus Christ, of God, of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John. We have several personalities in that verse. Let's identify them. The revelation of? We have Jesus Christ. Who gave it to him? God the Father. To show unto whom? His servants, not servants, so that means the church. Things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified by whom? His angel to whom? His servant John. So we have servant, the larger church, servant, John. It came from God the Father. He gave it to Jesus. Jesus gave it to an angel. The angel gave it to John. We believe that angel was the angel Gabriel, the highest angel in heaven, because it was he that was sent to explain the mysterious portions of Daniel to Daniel. Now, since Daniel and Revelation go together, we believe it was the same angel that was sent to John. Now, this book came from God the Father. Now, God the Father, Christ is his son. They're equal in divinity, but one has greater authority. You can't have father and son who are equal in authority. Father has more authority than son. Now, the book of Revelation came from the highest authority in the universe, and that is God. Gave it to Jesus. Jesus, the angel to John. God the Father, in this book, in this revelation he gave to Jesus and to John through the angel, he says to us through John in Revelation 22, verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments. That came from the Father. And it was written more than 60 years after Jesus went back to heaven. Now, if the law ended in Malachi, how do you explain Revelation 22, verse 14? Blessed are they that do his commandments. Let's look at the same writer who wrote Revelation, John's epistle, same writer, books written about the same time, between 95 AD and 110 AD. That's where the consensus or the majority of scholars placed the book, written between 95 and about 110, 105 AD. 1 John, chapter 2, You have that? He that saith, what? Chapter 2, verse 4, sorry. He that saith, I know him, keep reading, and keepeth not his commandment, is a liar. Now, this was written about 60 years after Jesus went back to heaven. And the message to John was, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. John recognized the commandments of God were still in force. Let's go to stay in 1 John. Let's go to chapter 5. Let's read verse 3. It's 7:25. This may end up being my sermon, but the Spirit of God told me answer this question. You have 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. And may God put His Spirit in His words in my mouth. Read verse 3 for me, and this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Stop. This is love for God. That's what the verse is saying. This is how you love God. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Finish that verse. And His commandments are not grievous, they're not hard, they're not a burden, but they are a burden for the carnal nature that hates God's law. Go to 2 John. I'm looking at books that were written decades after Jesus went back, and the law is still in force. 2 John, let's read verse 6. And there's no subject. The subject is answering a question. 2 John, verse 6, do you have that? Read with me, what does that say? This is love, that we walk after His commandments. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 2. We read 4 and 5. Are you there? Read with me. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. Go on. And the truth is not in him, which means he cannot be sanctified. Why do I say he cannot be sanctified? Because Jesus said what? Sanctify them how? Through thy truth. The Bible says a person who does not obey God's commandment does not have the truth dwelling in him. Consequently, that person cannot be sanctified, because Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. And the Bible says all the commandments are truth. But let's read 4 again, then go to 5. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Go right to 5. But whoso what? Keepeth what? His word. The word simply means commandment. Keep reading. In him verily is the love of God perfected. Then we have a connection between perfection and what? Obedience? You didn't see it. Read verse 5, 4 and 5. I'll have you read until you get it. Verse 4 and 5 again, let's go smoothly. He that saith, come on, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Now, perfection cannot be distanced from obedience. Notice the word verily. You see the word verily in that verse? You don't see it? John is fond of the word. He's the only gospel that keeps saying verily, verily, verily. He's the only gospel writer that has Jesus using verily, 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 verily. Here it pops up in his epistle. In him verily, or truly, or most assuredly, is the love of God perfected. Remove obedience, and there is no perfecting of God's love in the sinner. But if there's no law, what is there to obey? Let me point out the danger of saying there's no law. By the way, let me get it out now. When people say there's no law, what they're trying to get rid of is the Sabbath. No intelligent person will say the Ten Commandments ended in Malachi because one of them said, thou shalt not kill. Who will say that law no longer applies? Who will say thou shalt not steal no longer applies? When people say, and they're not honest enough to confess it, that the law ended in Malachi, what they're trying to get away from is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In an attempt to get away from that, they throw out the baby with the bathwater. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. 7:24. You can see where I'm headed. Well, the Lord, we talked about the law last night. God wanted me to talk about it tonight again. Romans 3, verse 20. Do you have that? Let me pray again. Father, I'm dealing with a question most of the world hates. Give me simple language. Let your spirit work powerfully, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Nice and loud and clear. Read verse 20 for me. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. Why? By the law is a knowledge of sin. What does that mean, by the law is a knowledge of sin? The Bible gives us one way to identify sin. What's that way? By the law. By the law. Go to Romans 4, read verse 15. Romans 4:15. Do you have it, my King James people? What does that say? The law worketh wrath. For where no, there's no. No transgression. Now, for the person who said the law ended in Malachi, what also ended in Malachi? Sin. That's what the devil wants. Remove the law and sin vanishes. No gospel. And thank you. No gospel. Go to Romans 5. We were in 3, 4, 5. Let's read from verse 12. Our subject, answering questions. You have Romans 5, verse 12. What are you supposed to tell me? No. What are you supposed to tell me? Huh? Okay. I thought you liked me a little bit. All right, Romans 5, reading from verse 12. What does that say? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Read 13 carefully. For until the law, sin was in the world. The first, but sin is not where there is no. Where no law is, there's no transgression. 4:15. Sin is not imputed where there is no law. 5:13. By the law is the knowledge of sin. 3:20. In the book of Romans. Let me put it more bluntly. My friends online, listen carefully. The only way to sin, finish my words, is to break God's law. The only way to sin is to break God's law. And God's law controls the thinking, the speaking, and the behaving. You say, how come? And I tell you, commandment number 10, thou shalt not covet. Where does that happen? In the mind. Thou shalt not kill. Where does that happen? In the mind, the mouth, and the body. Because Jesus said, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. You are a murderer in the eyes of God if you hate. The law judges the heart. It judges the intentions. It judges the motives. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. 1 John 3:15, and you know, no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. To hate someone is to be a murderer in the eyes of God. The law of God judges the mind, the mouth, the body, the thinking, the speaking, the behaving. And the wisest man said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Tell me, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For how long? As long as man lives. even in the world to come. Listen to me. This is the whole duty of man. When did the duty of man change? In Malachi? In John. Go with me to John. First, not John. John the Gospel, yes. Chapter 14. John 14. Do you have that? Yes, the book of the Gospel of John. Yes, my good brother, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Again, I wish I could see my online people, but I can't see you with my physical eye. I see with the eye of faith. Thanks for joining. All the countries represented, thanks for joining. John 14. Let's read verse 15. Say it without looking. If you love me. Now, did love for God end in Malachi? Does this apply today? If you love me in the days of Malachi, keep my commandments. If you love me in the days of 2021, do what? Keep my commandments. There are two ways to love God. There's one. Keep my commandments. Do what I say. It is one of the simplest teachings of the Bible. Let me tell you what the problem is. Go to John chapter 3. John 3, let's read from 16, which the whole world knows, or a large portion of the world. John 3, let's read from verse 16. Our subject, answering questions. Do you have John 3? Read with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now look at 16, look at 17. We have parallel statements. Let's look microscopically. Listen to 16. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. What's the equivalent expression in verse 17? No. Should not perish. What's the equivalent expression in 17? Condemnation. Condemn. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn. Condemn 17. Perish 16. Same thing. In verse 16, but have lasting life. 17 might be saved. Now, let's take perish in 16, condemnation in 17. Listen to verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19 is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Read it with me. And this is the condemnation sought. What's the word in 16 we had? Perish. Perish, a condemnation, a judgment against you, same thing. This is the condemnation. What is it? Light. Pause. Do you have light with you right now? Show it to me. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Psalm 119 verse 105. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Psalm 119 verse 130. And Jesus says, I'm the light. He also says, I'm the word, I'm the truth. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. People love breaking the law. It is so sad that in 17, Jesus himself said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn. I didn't come to destroy. I came to save. But the actual fact is, people do not want to be saved. Because you're saving me from my sins, and I like my sins. I love the whorehouse. I love the bar. I love the casino. I love my cigar from Cuba. I love what I do that offends God. The gospel interferes with my life. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil, keep reading, hateth the light. Stop. I was speaking one of this, a series like this, in a, somewhere in the United States, 3 weeks every night. A lady came the first night, the first week. Very nice lady. I knew her. And at the beginning of the second week, I didn't see her, so I called her on the job. I said, my dear sister, Jesus and I miss you. She said, Elder Skate, I have to be honest with you. If I come and continue to sit under that preaching, I will have to make a decision. So I'm not coming back. She did. She did make a decision. What she meant was a decision to obey God, you see. If I continue sitting under that preaching, I will have to make a decision, so I'm not coming back. Now, listen to Jesus. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Leave me with my six women. Leave me with my four men. Leave me with my alcohol. Leave me with my gambling. Leave me. Listen to 20 again. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You see, this exposes sin. And we naturally hate that unless we convert it. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The law of God is as active today as it was in the days of Lucifer before he fell. Because the law of God expresses the very righteousness of God. In, go with me to Exodus 19. Let's go to 19 first, then we go to 20. And I'm still answering this question. I really get worked up when people attack the law of God because it's very dishonest. Some are genuinely ignorant. Others are just plain dishonest. Churches are filled with dishonest people regarding truth. If you tell them, your miracle is coming, yeah, they like that. I hear the sound of abundance, yeah. God will work it out, yes. You know, take your lemons and make lemonade, mm-hmm. Tell them, confess your sins, and they leave. Obey God, and they leave. They call you legalists. Exodus 19, let's read from verse 4. Father in heaven, as I continue, speak through me for your glory and your glory alone. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Exodus 19, reading from verse 4. Listen to Moses, a God speaking to Moses. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if, what does if suggest? A condition. If you will do what? Obey my voice and keep my covenant indeed, then you shall be what? A peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now, the condition for being special to God is obedience. Does God love the whole world? Yes, he does. But were there a people closer to him than anybody else? Yes. What did he give to them on Mount Sinai? His law. Listen to what he tells Moses to tell them. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. We have holiness connected to obedience. If you obey my voice indeed, verse 5, you shall be a holy nation. We saw obedience, 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, connected to perfection of the law of God. The devil, well, let's go to verse 20, chapter 20 of Exodus. We read from verse 1. Forgive me for being worked up. I don't like when people attack God's law. If you want to disobey, go ahead. But do not preach there's no law. The moment you say that, there's no gospel. We have chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Pause. Why did I take you to that passage? What is God doing? He is reminding the forgetful Israelites of who had delivered them from Egypt and how. Sometimes the Bible says, with a stretched out arm, with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. Those are symbolic expressions referring to the power of God that cannot be resisted. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, with all these plagues on Pharaoh and parting the Red Sea and destroying the Egyptians, out of the house of bondage. Then he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. When God spake the Ten Commandments from verse 3 to verse 17, what is the only response he wanted? One word. Obey. The purpose of a commandment is obedience. How difficult is that to understand? When you tell your child, be home by 9 o'clock, what do you want, a discussion? Obey. Because I'm the father, you're the child. If you don't want to obey me, give me a refund and leave my house. Are you with me? Obey. And so God is saying, because I did all of this for you. Come on, finish my words. Obey me. He's also saying, the power that I used to deliver you is the power I will use to enable you to, come on, obey me. Because the deliverer is the sustainer, the same way the creator is the sustainer. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, because I did that. All I require as your true expression of gratitude, obey me. Every blessing of God is based on obedience. I'll tell you something else. Listen very carefully to me. The condition of salvation is obedience. Thank you for the amens. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. Do you have that? Let's read verse 23 of 1 John chapter 3. Do you have it? What does that say? And this is his commandment, that he should do what? Believe on the Lord. Come on. And love one another. As he gave us a commandment. This is his commandment, that he should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a commandment. We are commanded to do what? Believe. This is his commandment, that you should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And love one another as I gave you commandment. John 15 verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. He is saying in verse 23 of 1 John 3. As I command you to love one another, I'm commanding you to believe on me. But God cannot force obedience. Are you following me? He can issue a command. He cannot force obedience. No law can force obedience. Not even the law of the government. Because you can choose to die as a result of disobedience. God can command, he cannot enforce obedience. That has to come when we realize, he brought me out of Egypt. Are you following me? It was for my sake he sent 10 plagues. It was for my sake he sent bread from heaven. It was for my sake he destroyed all my enemies, the Egyptian soldiers. It was for my sake he brought water from a rock. It was for my sake he sent bread from heaven. I want to obey a person like that. Now, This is my commandment, or his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. We are commanded to obey, after to believe. Now listen to John 3:16, just say, for God so loved the world, that whosoever, give me another word for believeth, obeyeth, because when you believe, you have, come on, obey, because he said there's a command to obey, 1 John 3:23. Remove obedience, there is no salvation. In Jeremiah 13, verse 23, go there quickly with me. It's 7:44. I may have to stop taking questions from the internet so I can finish what I came to say. Jeremiah 13, let me pray. Father, I'm still answering this question under the direction of your Spirit. Give me the simple words and touch the hearts of those listening, dear God. Soften hard hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah 13, verse 23. Do you have that? What does that say? Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Come on. Or the leopard his spots? Then may he also do what? Do good that are accustomed to do evil. Then may also what? Do good that are accustomed to do evil. Where there's evil, sin, or righteousness, there's a doing. You didn't see that? There is a doing. Why are you looking at me like that? Read the verse again. Can the Ethiopian, come on, change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may he also do good, come on, that are accustomed to do evil. On God's side, there's a doing. On the devil's side, there's a doing. Listen to me carefully. Go to Romans 6:16. Let Paul explain what I cannot explain. Let Paul explain. There's a doing on both sides. There's no idleness with the devil. There's no idleness with God. Romans 6:16. Are you there? Read with me. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are. What does a servant do? Obey. His commands? Come on, talk to me. The master's command. Now, put one finger on Romans 6:16. Go to Joshua 24, verse 24. Is it 24 or 25 of Joshua? One or the other, you let me know. Joshua 24, verse 24, I think it is. Are you there? Read for me. What does that say? 24. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we? And his voice will be, oh, serve and obey are the same thing. This is called Hebrew parallelism. Two parallel lines, you see. One statement says the same thing as the other. It may add a little, but they're the same thing. Listen to another example. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Word of the Lord, breath of his mouth, same thing. This is the verse 9. For he spake, it was done. He commanded, same thing, it stood fast. Are you following me? Now we go back to Romans 6, verse 16. You're supposed to have kept one finger on it. You have it? All right, read with me. Knowing not that to whom ye yield yourselves, stop. Serving Satan is a choice. Serving God is a choice. But remove the word serve, give me another word. Obeying Satan is a choice. Obeying God is a choice. The choice is yours. Any man who says there's no law has chosen to obey Satan. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of what? Sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness, whether Satan or God, you must obey or you must do. Seven Listen to me carefully. There are two ways to be lost. Honestly or dishonestly. Are you following me? Let me explain what I mean. Here's a sinner who decides to steal. But he knows it's wrong, but he steals anyway. Here is another sinner who steals and looks for Bible verses to justify it. Are you with me? Here's a man who has three wives. He knows he's wrong. Here's another man with three. He tries to find a Bible verse to make it right. To make it right. If you want to be lost, don't try to destroy God's law. Make your own decision to disobey it, and that's your business. Don't run around preaching there's no law. Because there's a terrible war, a terrible punishment reserved for those who become instrument of other people's destruction. If you have to go to hell, go by yourself. What's the other side of that coin? Tell me quickly. If you have to go to heaven, take somebody with you. And that's what we're trying to do through these meetings. The most blessed life you can live is an obedient life to God. It's as simple as ABC. Revelation 22 verse 14, the last blessing of the Bible. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have a right to what? The tree of life. We have obedience and we have eternal life. You can't separate obedience from eternal life. You can't separate obedience from holiness. You cannot separate obedience from sanctification. You cannot separate obedience from perfection. Blessed are they. Psalm 119 verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the Lord who walk in the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is His law. The path of righteousness. Okay. You never rebuked me once tonight to tell me slow down. I forgive you for your sins. How many of you will say with me, Father, give me a heart to obey your law? Can I see your hand? Those of you online, raise your hands. Put it in here to obey you. Stand up with me. Tomorrow night I'll preach what I came to preach tonight. But you know what? This is very, very serious. Listen to Jesus. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that which leadeth unto life, and few. Jesus makes a statistical statement. Most people will be lost. And all who are lost would have destroyed themselves. And if anyone is saying there's no law, you're on that downward path. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the simplicity of your word when it is read honestly. Dear God, touch the hearts of those who try to destroy your law. He or she who attempts to destroy your law is doing the work of Satan. We thank you for this law. It's a hedge to keep us from evil. It is a protection around us. It's a surrounding wall the enemy cannot break through if we remain obedient to the power of Christ. We thank you for thou shalt have not a gods before me. We thank you for thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. We thank you for thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We thank you for remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We thank you for honor thy father and thy mother. We thank you for thou shalt not kill. We thank you for thou shalt not commit adultery. We thank you for thou shalt not steal. We thank you for thou shalt not bear false witness. We thank you for thou shalt not covet, Father. There is nothing wrong with any of those ten. They express your love for us. In the name of Jesus, dear God, deepen our love for you. And let that love be expressed in an obedience that is willing to lose life itself. Watch over us tonight. Let us reflect on what we've heard. Bring us back tomorrow. Bring back your people online, I pray. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, Amen and Amen. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow night.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.